If you only had 24 hours to live and you had to teach your son or sons everything you learned about being a man, from life to love, money to marriage, people to porn, and everything in between, what lessons would you teach him? Well, when my son was only 12 years old, I wrote a book for him I wanted to leave behind as my legacy. It's called Are You the Man? 201 Lessons I Wish My Dad Would Have Taught Me. And I squeezed all of those lessons on manhood into just 124 pages. The lessons I share in this book not only come from my successes in life, but many of them also come from my painful and even shameful failures, including divorce, abuse, addiction, adultery, and abandonment, just to name a few. You can read and learn in less than 2 hours what it took me over 30 plus years to learn the hard way. So just go over to areyoutheman.com and get your copy today. That's areyoutheman.com. Trust me, your wife and children will thank you for it later. In my book, Are You the Man? 201 Lessons I Wish My Dad Would Have Taught Me, on page 99 I write, when it comes to dealing with questionable friendships in your life, always ask yourself, is what I'm holding on to really worth keeping? And if you need help making a decision on what relationships to hold on to and which ones to let go of, then check out my interview with best-selling author, adjunct professor, and ministry leader, the incomparable Gary Thomas, as he talks to me about his latest book, When to Walk Away, Finding Freedom from Toxic People. Get ready to get your mind blown as he teaches us how to deal with toxic people the way Jesus did and how we can apply the same principles in our everyday lives. So if you've been having trouble getting along with the people God called you to love, you don't want to miss this episode. Real Men Connect is next.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. And each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. And guys, today we have with us one of my favorite authors, Gary Thomas. And Gary Thomas is a writer in residence at Second Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, and an adjunct faculty member teaching on spiritual formation at Western Seminary in Portland, Oregon, and Houston Theological Seminary in Houston, Texas. And Gary, I can't wait to find out how you're able to pull off both of those at the same time. But Gary also is the author, like I mentioned earlier, he's one of my favorite authors. He's the author of 19 books, my goodness, including the highly popular, which you've probably heard of, Sacred Marriage, also Sacred Pathways, Cherish, Sacred Parenting, and the Gold Medallion Award-winning Authentic Faith. And Gary has a master's degree from Regent College, where he studied under Dr. J.I. Packer and was awarded an honorary doctorate degree in divinity from Western Seminary. And Gary has spoken in 49 states and 10 different countries. He has appeared numerous times on various national radio and television programs, including CBN, Focus on the Family, and Family Life Today. And now he joins us on the Real Men Connect podcast to discuss his latest book, When to Walk Away, Finding Freedom from Toxic People. And I can't wait to dive into this topic with him. So, Warrior Nation, join me in welcoming one of my favorite authors and a first-time guest on the Real Men Connect podcast, Gary Thomas. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Thank you, Joe. Such a joy to be with you.
I can't tell you how thrilled, Gary, I am to have you on the show, because when I first started the show, I had a list. We call it our dream list. And I had over 250 guests on that list. And do you know you made it in the top 50?
Wow.
and it only took me 3.5 years to get you. So, that's called patience, brother.
So, well, I'm honored to be here.
I'm excited. And Gary, I told you before we even came on the call that, man, your book is incredible. I didn't get a chance to finish it, and I'm kicking myself for it, but I plan to finish it by the end of this week. But I was mesmerized and just engulfed with just the practicality of it, and also the revelation that you reveal about dealing how Jesus dealt with toxic people. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to forget all the pleasantries. We're going to jump right in. I always ask my guests what's their favorite Bible verse that gives them inspiration from Word of God. Please tell us yours, and we're going to jump into this phenomenal book of yours. Can you tell us your favorite Bible verse
of
the season?
Yeah, well, it changes through the years, but I would say the last 10 or so, because I could just see my wife's eyes roll back in her head whenever I quote this in sermon. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And Lisa told me one time, you know, Gary, it's possible to preach a sermon without mentioning Matthew 6:33. And I said, I know, but it's very difficult for me because, Joe, that's really the framework that I want to live my life out of, that I wake up, I'm seeking first God's kingdom, not my own, not to advance my name, not to advance my agenda. It's not about my pleasure, my advancement, my financial success. It's really about God's kingdom. And part of that is in all of my relationships as a dad, as a husband, as a brother, as an employee, it's to seek first his righteousness, that it's growing in Christ's likeness. So when I keep mission and character together, which is what Jesus tells us to do in Matthew 6:33, that's for me, that's really the framework that I want to begin my day and live my day by.
You know, I'll tell your wife that I'm not mad at you because you sound just like my spiritual father and mentor. Gary, every time I talk to him and I'm battling with something, I mean, it could be in ministry, it could be in marriage or whatever, and I call Howard up. I say, Howard, okay, I'm dealing with such and such situation, man. What do you suggest? Give me some godly counsel. And guess what he quotes? Matthew 6:33.
He's a good man. Good hands.
I'm like, are you going to always give me that as the answer every single time I talk to you? He says, yes. He says, always the answer, Gary. I can't be mad at you because he does it to me all the time. So I kind of relate to your wife, but I get it.
All right.
You know, and you mentioned Matthew 6:33 because that's also, again, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, because that seems to be one of your strategies through the book when it comes to the offensive side of dealing with toxic people. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Now, let's just jump right into it, because typically I get guys' backstory. But Gary, you've been out there writing so much stuff. They can find out more about you. They can just go on the internet and find out all they need to know about you. But I really want to talk about this topic because we've never had a person on the show talk about it before. I can't believe that we've been around 3 years and we haven't discussed this topic. So maybe God's timing of having you on now was perfect to bring you on to talk about this. So let's start with the word toxic itself, because it's become very common now, as we know, right? And especially when it's associated with masculinity. But for the sake of our discussion and to make sure we're all on the same page with you, what do you mean by the phrase toxic people? What is a toxic person to you?
I'm really glad you brought this up, Joe. It's an important distinction. Why toxic? I don't mean difficult. I don't mean different. I don't mean sinner. We're called to spend time with sinners. Everybody's difficult in their own way. All toxic people are difficult, but not all difficult people are toxic. Here's the difference. Toxic people destroy you. You can't interact with them without them taking out pieces of you until there aren't that many pieces left. You question your sanity. You have no peace. They destroy your joy. They destroy your confidence. They're often masters at gaslighting, making you feel crazy for stating what's clearly true. And so when somebody's taking pieces out of you so that you're not free to give yourself to healthy relationships, whether that's a wife, kids, girlfriend, your parents, whatever, And then you don't feel like you have any confidence to share what God's given you to help and encourage others, at that point, the relationship has become toxic. Now, I don't know how deep you want to get into the definition, because I take three chapters to sort of define toxic people. I don't know if we want to get into those three points that are very common with toxic people.
Well,
or not.
No, go, because you do cover that in the book, but go ahead quickly for us, if you can, kind of give us the Cliff Notes version of it, because I'm hoping that they'll get the book at the end of the show, but go ahead.
One big marker of toxic people is they're control mongers, which is the opposite of God. It amazes to me how God is as right as he is, as powerful as he is, as it would all be to our benefit if we would just do what he wants us to do. He doesn't control us. One of the most famous passages in the Old Testament, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then in the book of Revelation, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. If you open the door, he'll go in and eat with you. The New Testament talks about demonic possession. It never talks about God possession. though we're filled with the Holy Spirit, even Paul makes clear that the spirit of the prophets is subject to the control of the prophet. So when somebody's trying to control you, they're adopting a strategy that is the opposite of who God is. Toxic people just want you to do what they want you to do. So difficult people may annoy you as they lobby you and try to persuade you, but toxic people won't take no for an answer. They're determined to get you to do what they want you to do. A second thing.
Now, Gary, let me interrupt you for a second, because you bring up a great point. Before you get to the other two, so let me make a clear distinction. I want the men out there to listen and how you respond to this. So when you're talking about control, people who are control mongers, because sometimes we think that if we tell someone what we want or what we desire, that we can be accused of being controlling. So am I making the right distinction to say that it's not controlling if you give people a choice of rejecting or not accepting? Am I wrong? I'm off on that?
No, you're describing Jesus. And we're going to see that when we get into the genesis of the book, that Jesus spoke bold truth, courageously, unapologetically, but he let people walk away from him if they rejected it. But he never stayed silent, in the sense of if he felt he was called to speak, he would speak up and he would make the case. It's just he would let them walk away if that was their choice.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. Go ahead and give us the other two, Gary.
Yeah. The second one is a murderous spirit. That sounds so serious. I'm not talking about somebody just trying to stab you. What I mean by that is toxic people destroy small groups. They destroy family gatherings. They destroy office environments. I think people know what I'm talking about. They destroy your peace. They kill your joy. They kill your sense of self-confidence. If you look at somebody and there's this wide swath of destruction in their life, everywhere they go, they divide churches, they throw friends against each other. You start to realize God is a God of life. He created life. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Followers of God bring life and abundant life. Toxic people bring death. So difficult people may vehemently disagree with you. That's not murderous. Toxic people want to silence you. Because I disagree with you, I'm going to so slander you that nobody will listen to you. I want to remove your voice. I want you to be obliterated. That's what a toxic person does. The third thing, and not every toxic person exhibits all three of these, but these are very common ones. The third thing is that toxic people love to hate. Paul sets up two different systems of the way we behave in the book of Colossians. And I love Colossians, Joe, because it's a baby church community. I mean, there were no veteran Christians in Colossae. They all had been Christians for a very short time. So Paul is so practical and foundational, saying this is what it means to be a believer. And he said those who follow the Lord – this is Colossians 3, 12 through 14 – exhibit compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and love. But then he talks about another group in Colossians 3, 8, and 9. These are the toxic people. They exhibit anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lying. And that's really a description of a toxic people. Now, I know a lot of the guy listeners, as I would be if I was listening, saying, wait a minute, I deal with anger. I got to admit, sometimes I'm slanderous. Sometimes I let filthy language out. Here's the difference. A toxic person comes most alive when they're slandering, when they're sowing division, when they're angry, when they're filled with rage, when they're lying. That's what gets their mind engaged. Those of us can act toxic. We're appalled by it. We're like a person who's had the flu for 3 days. We want to take a shower and get the stink off us. Toxic people love their stink. They, you know, quote country music, they like it, they love it, they want some more of it. So the difference is difficult people may slip into those negative things and feel badly about it. Toxic people come alive when they're doing their worst. They love to hate at the root of it.
Gary, I'm already excited about the rest of this interview. Just in the first 10 minutes, you've enlightened me and just opened my eyes up to so many different things about this topic. That's why I can't wait to dive more into it. And those out there listening, we're talking to Gary Thomas, who's the author of When to Walk Away, Finding Freedom from Toxic People. And this is a very, very sensitive and touchy topic that you have addressed so beautifully in your book. But Gary, before I get more back into the book again, I do need to ask you this, because I mentioned earlier about you're one of my favorite authors, and a lot of people have heard about you. You've got best-selling books and everything. And sacred marriage is where most people hear about you from, and because you're a prolific author. What made you decide to do it or write about this topic of toxic people? That seems to kind of not go with your kind of way of writing.
Because I was as naive as they come, Joe. I really was for decades. I mean decades. I would let toxic people weaken me, frustrate me, occupy way too much space in my head, pull me away from healthy ministry opportunities, infect my relationship with my family and solid friends. And what happened is, in a ministry situation, because of guilt and I think a misunderstanding of things that we'll get into, I was dealing with another toxic person, and I just discovered how toxic they had been toward me. And I'm always fascinated by it. I thought, you know, you can disagree with me, you can, but I go, why would you be toxic this way? And so when I found out, I was talking to a friend of mine. He's been a marriage and family therapist for 35 years. He's wise, loves the Lord, understands scripture. I said, do I confront him? Do I – because there's going to be certain environments where I might see him. And I was shocked, really shocked, when he said, I recommend you don't engage him at all. And I thought that was a complete failure as a Christian. I go, what do you mean? He said, Gary, go to the book of Luke. Count how many times Jesus walked away from someone after speaking a hard truth, or let them walk away from him without chasing after him. Well, I'm Joe, I'm not clinically OCD, but I live in the neighborhood right next door to it. So when a counselor says do that in the book of Luke, I went to all four Gospels, counted 41 citations. Now, they're not all toxic people. And because it's the gospel, some of them refer to the same event. But there were still dozens of encounters where Jesus ended by speaking the truth and letting somebody walk away. He didn't chase after. He didn't apologize. Or Jesus chose to walk away. I always would have considered that a failure as it applied to me. I don't believe Jesus could ever fail. So I had to take a step back and realize I've just been naive about this. And I mentioned, Joe, Matthew 6:33. I preach in all the sermons in my wife's eyes, you know. But here's how blind we can be sometimes. The scriptures are so much greater than our own opinions. Seven verses after Matthew 6:33, right? Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, go on the offense. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seven verses later, it's a different chapter, but right after it, that's the famous passage where Jesus says, do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. So as soon as Jesus says, go on the offense, he immediately comes back and says, but you know what? Watch out for these kinds of people, these toxic people, because they're going to turn, they're going to oppose everything you do. They're going to try to turn you to pieces. And in the warning is the implicit statement, I don't want that to happen to you. So I want you to go on offense. I want you to play spirits on. But you know what? A championship team also has to learn how to play defense. Joe, I never even thought of spiritual defense. I was just, let's go on spiritual offense, do that. No thought to defense. Well, look, as we see in the football playoffs or whatever anybody's interested in, an offense only takes you so far. If you want to have the most impactful life and ministry, you've got to learn how to play defense. And frankly, I was just naive to that. I was ignorant of that. And I paid the price for that.
You know, Gary, when I was reading your book, the things that jumped out to me was, you know, you touched on two of them. Is one about, you know, I'm same way, offense. And I even knew that Jesus walked away. I didn't know it was 41 times until you called it out in the book. I'm like, what? 41 times.
I know.
And I'm like, I just started like maybe half a dozen. That's what my guess was, you know, because I've often used that. But sometimes you got to, you know, disengage. And so I didn't know it was that many. But when you talked about the defense, that's when I got the revelation from your book. I said, because I guess maybe that's what a lot of people get when you bring up this topic, that we don't think how to get on defense, because we're often told, you know, don't defend yourself. you know, turn the other cheek. And I think we're misinterpreting what God is trying to tell us to do when it comes to protecting and guarding our heart from the enemy's attack. And so I think that was the biggest revelation I got from your book, is this offense and defense, this balance that we have to be able to engage in. But I want to ask you, based on what you just said, when the counselor told you that about, he says, don't engage. One of my next questions I was going to ask you is, what's the first thing you would suggest to do when you feel that you're being attacked by a toxic person? Is it just don't engage them? Is that the first step you would recommend?
Well, have the attitude of a lifeguard. If anybody's been through lifeguard training, one of the things they teach you first, which sounds counterintuitive, but it makes a lot of sense. One of the first things they teach lifeguards is self-defense. And the reason is, when somebody's drowning in their panic, they may inadvertently drown you. They may slap you. They may slam you. They may just try to jump on you. You've got to learn, I've got to be in control. My job is to save you. But if I let you drown me, then there's nobody here that can be saved. We both die, and all the people I might save will die. So I want every man listening to have a renewed sense of how important he is because of who God is in him. The message you carry, Jesus reconciling the world to himself, we be reconciled to God so that we can reconcile others. We're reconciled to God so that we can be peacemakers in our community. We can give life to us. And then the power of the Holy Spirit within you, good night. Your life matters. Your day matters. Every hour matters. So have a little bit of awe of who you are and how God can use you, so that you realize, I'm worth protecting. Not because I'm a narcissist, not because I'm a prima donna, but because I'm an enlisted servant of God's kingdom, the most important, the only eternal kingdom that there is. And so what I'm doing is trying to make the wisest investment of my time. And look, I've always wanted to pursue humility and be humble and, oh, I'm not this much or that. But the reality is, I still need to make the best use of my time. And so if I'm interacting with someone, as Jesus did, for instance, with the rich young ruler, here's a great case. I don't believe the rich young ruler was toxic. But what happened was, Jesus saw what was going on in his heart, and he says, you're so close. And then I think people don't realize the invitation Jesus gave to the rich young ruler. When he says, sell all you have to the poor and come follow me, apart from the 12 disciples, the rich young ruler is the only man who got that invitation directly from Jesus. Jesus spoke it generally to people, but as an individual, he was telling the rich young ruler, you can be one of the intimates. You can, if you will leave behind your money, I'm going to show you spiritual riches. And the guy chose his money over Jesus. Now, one of the gospels says, and I think this is so significant, Jesus loved him.
Yeah, I read that too. Yeah, he loved him.
Jesus, there was something about him that Jesus thought, this is a guy I want to, but Jesus didn't let his personal affections trump his mission. Jesus was so mission focused, even though his natural disposition is, for whatever reason, we're fans of the same team. We look like, we read the same books. We have the same person, whatever it is that drew Jesus to him. He's still saying, you know what? I'm here for a mission. My Heavenly Father, and if you're not part of this mission, he turns to his disciples and says, let me explain to you why it's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Instead of trying to argue with the rich, look, I know 100% is a lot. How about we start with 50% and I'll try to disciple you up? No, it says he walked away. Jesus turned to the reliable people and said, all right, you're with me. I'm going to spend my time teaching you. And so it's if we're talking to fathers, I know we're talking to some fathers. Here's where I think as fathers is a big trap. Often we will spend most of our time with the most resistant kids, not training up the most responsive kids.
Wow.
Which is exactly the opposite of what Scripture calls us to do. There was one man, he had two daughters that just loved him. They were serving the Lord. He had a recalcitrant son. And finally, the counselor had to tell him, and then he came to me to ask what I thought of the counselor's advice. The counselor said to him, you know, you spend more time with this toxic son. He was an adult who, you know, who isn't getting any better with all this attention than you do your two daughters combined. And your daughters will serve the Lord and your daughters want to be in a relationship with you. But there's something prideful that we're going to break through to that one resistant person. Jesus had the exact opposite approach. If you were with him, if you were going to walk in obedience, if you were willing to obey his commands, Jesus says, I will sacrifice. I will give you time. You can be with me. But if you resist him, he says, I'm going to go find the people who would. Even when it was his family, his mother and brothers came to him. And what did he say? Who are my mother and brothers? Those who do the will of God. So we often, I think it's our own pride or wanting to break through, we waste our time with the resistant, and Jesus said, no, I'm going to find the reliable people and spend my time with them.
As we're talking to Gary Thomas, the author of When to Walk Away, Finding Freedom from Toxic People. Gary, this is so good, man, so good. I'm going to throw you a little bit of a curveball now, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because this, I mean, this is just enlightening me and just blessing me more than I even anticipated. Because I can feel in my spirit that a lot of men are going to be set free from the rebel, at least the spark, the catalyst to get them to start thinking about this differently and how we spend our time and who we spend our time with and how much time we give to something and invest in something. But I want to give you a different spin on this. How should we respond then, Gary, when a toxic person attacks us with the truth? In other words, they're telling us the truth, but they're not doing it to build us up, but rather to tear us down. What's the best way to respond to a person like that?
Here's the best defense against toxic people. They will often speak the truth to control us and to get us to do what we want them to do, what they want us to do, but not because they care about us. And so, Joe, I have, and I'm sure you have this, I have four solid friends. In fact, they're all the ones that I dedicate When to Walk Away to. And my wife knows if I go off the rails, she can call any of them or all of them and say, you got to deal with Gary. If they call me, I will assume that they're right and I'm wrong because they've walked with me. I know they love me. I know they love the Lord and walk with God. And I'm going to try to figure out why they're concerned and what is going on. But with a toxic person, I know they're coming with an agenda. And so every man needs to have people who can speak into his life and point out the weaknesses. And I think that should include our spouse or brothers in the Lord or whatnot or spiritual mentors or whatnot. But with toxic people, I found it's often so manipulative that that's just not the place I'm going to go. And so it's looking at the motivation. And that's the thing. I walk away from toxic people so that I can invest in reliable people. 2 Timothy 2:2, Paul says to Timothy, find reliable people qualified to teach others. That's who you invest in. But secondly, I receive correction from godly, strong people. But that means I don't need to worry whether a toxic person happens to be right. Because usually they're doing it to make me feel shame. They're doing it to make me have less confidence. It's understanding that purpose. If you've got healthy relationships, you feel free to walk away from toxic people. Now, if you have no healthy people speaking into your life, you've got to listen to the truth from somewhere. And then you might think, well, I've got to listen to a toxic person. But I would plead with the guys instead, build healthy relationships with men who will challenge you when you need to be challenged. And then you don't have to worry about toxic. Because here's what I've done. When I've been challenged by toxic people, as I did, which led to this book, I'll lay it out to the healthy person. All right, here's what's going on. And this guy that tells me that, I just my personality, Joe, I don't know if it comes out, I'm more of a wimp than I am a type A person. He's the opposite. That's why he's one of my best friends, right? And he said it before. You know, he goes, that's why I can be too obnoxiously blunt. That's why you're too much of a wimp. And so I can call him out and he can call me out. So I'm not surrounding myself with yes men. I'm not surrounding myself with people that won't, you know, we can laugh about, yeah, this is where I tend to fall. And because of that, I feel like I can lay out the situation to these guys and they'll be honest and direct and blunt, but in a pastoral way. Have you ever noticed this, Joe? When you repent before the Lord, you feel terrible about what you did and you feel so loved. And it's that love that calls you into repentance. It's not shame, which often pushes you back into the addiction or the sin. It's not the awful things that make you want to find the sin as a crutch. It's this healing shower, a spiritual shower that God gives you. Well, that's what a healthy Christian does as well. And that's why I'm wary, even if toxic people are speaking truth.
Oh, Gary, this is so good, man. It's so rich in wisdom. And wow, it's blessing my heart. Just I tell you, I can't wait to finish your book. I mean, I'm just so mesmerized by it because it's so practical and it's so relatable. And it's also amazing to me, at least as I was reading the book, to see how relatable Jesus is in it. Because you think, well, Jesus is Jesus. You know, no, but you can see yourself when you look at the scriptures just with a different perspective. You say, wow, Jesus did go through the same stuff that I went through. And look, and I thought something you said in the book that just jumped out at me. You said, we're always talking about how, and wore those bands around our wrists about do what Jesus do. You said, sometimes we need to do what Jesus wouldn't do or something I don't do. And I thought that was amazing because I don't think we ever asked that. What would Jesus not do in that situation? And when it comes to toxic people, we can learn a lot on what Jesus would not do when it comes to dealing with toxic people. Now, let me ask you this. I had a professor when I was an undergrad. She once told me that you can't read the label, Gary, when you're inside of the jar. She's from the South, so she had these colloquialisms. She said, Joe, you can't read the label if you're inside the jar. Right? She was referring to how we fail to see our own struggles and our own issues and challenges because we're too close to ourselves. So when it comes to toxic people, it seems to be easier to detect it in other people than it is in ourselves. How can we become more self-aware of our own toxicity so we're not blindsided by it? Does that make sense?
No, that's a great question. And here's what I've done, Joe. Because I've become more sensitive to toxic people, I've doubled down on not wanting to act in a toxic way. And so, for instance, the whole issue of control, I am so much I'm much more careful about slipping into control. And it can happen if you're a dad – and you think a kid is getting into some real serious issues, you might want to control that kid, not out of toxic malice, but just out of loving concern. But I realize I've got to use the methods of Jesus. I can't try to control people. And I might be having a friend that I just want to plead with them. This is not going to end well for you. But if they won't receive the truth, I've got to be able to walk away as Jesus did. So I look at what toxic is and I said, I don't want to be that way in my relationships. Murderous. Somebody slanders me, I want them to be taken out. I want them to be shamed. I thought, you know what? No, I can disagree with them, but a murderous spirit, that's not what God is about. I should be in relationships that bring life. But for me, I keep going back to those Colossians passages. I want to be a man who exhibits those holy things of compassion, kindness, not trying to undercut people, humility, not putting myself above people, gentleness, not being harsh, patient, nobody's perfect, and love, and avoid anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and lying. So I evaluate myself in my relationships. Am I exhibiting those positive ones or am I exhibiting the negative ones? And I think it's just a good thing for us to do. It's who Paul says that we're called to be in Christ.
You know, we're talking to Gary Thomas, the author of When to Walk Away, Finding Freedom from Toxic People. And Gary, you know, in your book, you draw from a lot of biblical stories. You talk about Jesus, you talk about Paul, you even talk about Nehemiah, which I thought was a great story. And you even used a lot of examples of stories from your own personal life, even as a pastor, on how to deal with toxic people in our lives. I'm just curious, Gary, which one is your favorite story that you use the most for teaching others how to handle toxic people?
I think when I'm speaking on this to groups, I'll often use the story of Esther Fleece. She grew up with two very dysfunctional parents. Eventually, a court ruled that neither parent was capable of raising her. She was brought in by a Christian family. And as often happens, God will use these people from dysfunctional homes and just give them a powerful ministry. And so she started getting some national renown, CNN and Christianity Today and USA Today. She had her own ministry now. She had her own apartment, which people that don't come from a dysfunctional home can't understand. When your home was the place of your greatest threat and chaos and hurt, and then as an adult you set up a home that's a sanctuary that's just like you like it, and then I won't get into the details, but basically her dad found out where she was, began stalking her, taking away the peaceful sanctuary of that home. She was fortunately with a good church that put a restraining order on him, and when he broke it, had him arrested. And at first, Esther was like, what kind of a daughter would throw her own father into jail? And the answer is a daughter who realizes that she has a mission before God that she needs to protect. And not even an earthly father gets to take that away when he's acting in a toxic way. Because if she lets her dad take her out, all of those people that God has called her to reach and encourage and bless are taken out. And what I love, one of the things that was used against her when she was growing up, she poured her thoughts, her fears, her hurts into this journal. And she's like 12 or 10 at the time. And she doesn't know how they got it. But at the trial between her mom and her dad's lawyer held up the journal and wanted to read a portion that would challenge the mom. And she found herself collapsing, saying, I'll never write another word again. I mean, and it took away the one thing that made her feel sane. And yet what happened years later, she wrote a book. And this is what I love about Jesus. He takes us at our biggest hurts. They become our biggest strengths. It's called No More Faking Fine. It's on the power of lament and how the church has just lost its ability to lament in a healthy way. The need to lament. Joe, your background, I mean, the things that you grew up with, the single mom and the abuse and all of that. A lot of times we say, well, let's just forget it. She talked about how you could find such great health in lament. And so she's speaking prophetically to a church where somebody with my background, to be honest, is just not going to get the need for lament. And I just love how it's such a key message, an important message that she had to protect from toxic people, even if the toxic person was her dad.
Wow. Wow. You know, Gary, you mentioned how she battled with, man, I you know, what kind of daughter would do this to her father, send her father to jail? But I want you to, this is just a side question. I want you to address how putting our heads in the sand when it comes to toxic people, how that's not a good thing. And that, what are the ramifications if we don't? You mentioned a little bit with her story, but I want you to dive a little bit deeper into that, because I think in my spirit, I'm thinking some man out there is thinking, you know what, if I just totally ignore it all together, it'll go away. You know, but what is the damage that could be potentially caused if we put our heads in the sands about this?
Yeah, well, it's one of the biggest failings of my life, and partly because I tend to be more passive. But toxic people usually respond best to strength. And people that was – and that's what you see Jesus did. With great courage, he would confront them and then walk away without fear of them. When we put our head in the sand, what happens is they'll then tend to haunt us. You want to be there for your wife. You want to be there – for me, this is decades ago, working with a toxic person. My kids would be saying something to me and I'd just be trying to figure out the chaos of my workplace. Trying to figure out crazy just makes you crazy. You right. can't figure out – you shouldn't try to figure out a toxic person. And then understanding – like I said, even more recently, why would somebody just hate? Why would somebody intentionally lie? Well, you know, I don't want to understand why somebody's so evil, because I don't want to even go there. I want to be motivated by love. And so I think – Paul said he warned the Corinthians about Satan because we do not want to be unaware of his schemes. And when I realize a toxic person, you know, Satan's toxic, is trying to control me, trying to murder me, or loves to hate, then I'm just like, okay, I'm forewarned, I'm forearmed. This is what you're about. I'm not going to let you cause me to be toxic. And that's what I would plead with the guys. If I'm put my head in the stand, I'm never more tempted to act in a toxic way myself than when I'm working with a toxic person. And I got to be on my guard against that. I've got to be wise. I've got to be open, because all I can control is my own response and my own actions. And so I don't want to hate in response of hate. I don't want to murder in response of her murder. But I also don't want to be naive. I want to go out and do what Jesus called me to do, but I want to forget Matthew 7:6, that there are some who will turn and try to tear me to pieces if I'm naive. And I just think Jesus gave that warning for a reason. I'll be honest, Joe, I didn't know how to interpret that verse. I didn't know how to preach on that. I almost kind of thought Jesus really wouldn't have said that. just because it shows how even having preached the gospel for decades, we all have our blind spots that scripture can just put a spotlight on and say, hey, here's where you don't realize God's full truth.
Now, Gary, I don't know if this is a fair question to ask you, but you have served as a pastor. And like you said, you've preached the gospel for decades. If you had to roughly, I know this is just a guesstimate, because I wonder how prevalent toxicity is in the body of Christ. Because, you know, you will find toxic Christians. If you had to put a percentage, what do you think are the percentage numbers on toxicity when it comes to Christians? That so we don't be naive thinking, yeah, that, oh, that's, yeah, just a, is it rare or is it more than we think it is? What kind of, yeah, percentage would you say?
I love that question, Joe. Here's the thing. I think when you talk about people acting in a toxic way, it's alarmingly high. But when I think you're talking about actual toxic people, it's probably a lot less than we might think. Where somebody's truly motivated by hate, where they really have a murderous spirit, when they're really that controlling. Whenever I talk to somebody in ministry, they usually have about 3 to 6 times in their course of their years where they could say, man, that was a real toxic person. But here's the thing is their impact can be greater than their numbers. I mean, no less a light than John Climacus, who was a 6th century Eastern Orthodox monk, warned that one wolf can take out an entire flock. If you've got a church of a couple hundred and one toxic person is doing his division or her division there, the whole church can collapse. So I don't want to label people toxic too quickly, because I don't think there's that many, to be completely unaware of them or to ignore them allows their toxicity to have an inordinate impact in the church. We just need to protect. We need to be aware. We need to warn.
You know, and I'm glad you pointed it out, Gary, because I can, you know, we have pastors and ministry leaders listening to the podcast, and it may be one of those things that, well, we got a great congregation. There's only one person like that. So we just don't give that person any attention. And you're saying, hey, that one could be the undoing and make a bigger impact than you think. So we can't be naive. And again, put our head in the sand over it. So I'm glad that you brought that up. That's great.
Let me even emphasize something, Joe, because if we're talking to leaders like that, here's what I've seen just in experience watching ministries from afar or being a part of them. If a leader will not address a toxic person, remember, one of the marks of toxic people is they murder. Eventually, that toxic person will cost the leader his or her job.
Wow.
Because they just create such dysfunction and they turn people against each other. They eventually bring down the leader. And if you're like me, tend to be more of a passive person, and you won't eventually confront and deal with the toxic person and make them walk away, it will often – you'll be the one walking away, because the board or others will recognize you just forfeited your ability to lead, because they do. They just end up murdering. And to not stop or address a murderer, you end up being the next victim.
Now, Gary, is there any distinction between a toxic person and a Jezebel spirit?
Well, that Jezebel spirit gets talked about in different ways, but I think they're very similarly related, where you have you think of Jezebel actually as she was historically, willing to commit murder for her husband to get a piece of land, you know, controlling behind the scenes for selfish aims, not as a good aim. I think she really is the very definition of a toxic spirit, certainly in the Old Testament.
And we know that there's we see there's a lot of people who've talked about that particular topic. And we kind of distance ourselves from it because, oh, that's, they're talking about Jezebel, so we're always talking about them, but not realizing that it's a spirit. it's a spirit that you have to deal with. You know, Gary, we're getting close to time, but I want to squeeze in two more questions before we go to our infamous man up questions. You know, because I can't wait to ask you some man up questions around this particular topic. But quickly for us, we know that all this really comes down to when it comes to dealing with toxic people is setting healthy boundaries. And I know there are different boundaries for different people, but when it comes to dealing with toxic people specifically, or just difficult people, we even put difficult people in that category too. What are some of the basic boundaries we should start establishing for ourselves to keep us emotionally and spiritually healthy?
Yeah, walk away. I know it sounds silly when I just wrote that book, but here's what's really set me up, Joy. The difference that this thought has made in my life is I want to have healthy relationships where I'm giving and serving and sacrificing in healthy environments with people who are teachable and willing. And I want to have healthy relationships. And so then when I come across a toxic person, my boundary is I don't have time for this. If you don't want to hear what I have to say, and I don't want to have to hear what you have to say, we're just going to agree to disagree and go our own ways and have a sense of the urgency of time, realizing that God won't use me to reach everyone. Some people will find me annoying. Some people just disagree. Not to take it personally, but to go where the fields are ripe for picking. And so I would say just set your life up in a healthy way. Positive ministry and positive relationships so that you can more freely say, I don't have time for unhealthy relationships or unhealthy interactions. That's the boundary for me. Is this being fruitful? Is this being productive?
Right. Is it fruitful? Is it productive? And I call it father filter it.
Right. Yeah. If I have an investment in this last year when the stock market goes way up, he says, well, Gary, you know, we got you 1% return. I'm going to say, you know, that's not good enough. You know, I want to make a better – and I think the same thing with relationships. A toxic person, I might make them a little less toxic, but is this the wisest investment of my time?
Guys, we're listening to Gary Thomas, the author of When to Walk Away, Finding Freedom from Toxic People. And Gary, I said I wanted to squeeze in one last question before we get to the man-up questions. And this is a very touchy question, touchy subject. You know, the title of your book is called When to Walk Away. But what do you do? What do you do when the toxic person you want to walk away from is your wife? And you have no legal grounds based on the word for divorcing her. I guess what I'm asking, Gary, is how do you effectively live with a toxic person and walk in freedom if you can't physically or emotionally walk away from the person?
Yeah, well, there are three chapters where I set that up. And because I've written so much on marriage, when you get to that, you're going to laugh. Because the first chapter on toxic marriage is, I say, if this is the first chapter you've turned to, please go back.
Go back and read the other ones.
Because, you know, because Sacred Marriage, it sold a million copies and other marriage books, I knew, well, what does Gary have to say about that? Here's the thing. There's a chapter in the book called Looking Like Jesus When You're Working with Judas or Living with Judas, one or the other. Jesus had a toxic person with him for 3 years. And there's some marks of Jesus with Judas. One, he didn't let Judas's toxicity become his. He didn't act in a toxic way, even though Judas acted in a toxic way toward him. He didn't see his mission as stopping toxic people from sinning. Jesus knew Judas was a thief. He didn't address his thievery because that wasn't the issue. There was a deeper issue. And I think if you're in a marriage, often if you're with a toxic person, you might be dealing with symptoms, but the disease is their heart isn't right with God. And you're wasting your time going on those other things. But another protection for Jesus that was really helpful is that he still spoke truth to crazy. Judas tried to pretend he wasn't toxic. He tried to betray Jesus with a kiss. And I love this. Jesus looks at him and says, yeah, you're going to betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And you can see all behind it. Look, I've given you 3 years of a front row seat to the most exciting work that's ever been done, the wisest counsel, the most powerful supernatural works of God. You're betraying me. I know that. You know that. You're going to pretend you're my friend? No. So that keeps us from going insane. I don't have to fix everything about a toxic person, but I also don't have to pretend that, no, you're not toxic if they are. So there's a whole lot more than I'd say for Joe. That's a whole show in itself. But as a very short, incomplete, and therefore potentially harmful summary, that's where I'd go.
You know, and you mentioned in the book, I wish I could say it the way you said it. I don't have it in front of me to read it again. But you mentioned Jesus' relationship, how long he had that relationship to do. He had that relationship with Judas all the way up to the point of him being crucified. You know, and he didn't change. He didn't waver. And he didn't chase. But he continued to stay the path and stay focused, like you said, on his mission. On his mission and not get sidetracked by Judas and Judas's issues. So, yeah, but I wanted to close out with that question because I know that is a question that pops up in our community and our circles when they're dealing with, quote, a toxic spouse and everything. So I'm glad you addressed that. But, Gary, it's time. It's time, man, for our infamous Man Up questions. And these are 5 quick questions, Gary, starting with the letters M-A-N-U-P. And all that requires your fearless honesty. And I'm probably going to send them around the topic of dealing with toxic people as how you had to deal with it yourself. So the question is, are you ready, man?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right. And we'll be right back, my guest, Gary Thomas, after this short break. Are you ready to cheat on your wife? No, I'm not talking about that kind of cheating. I'm talking about gaining an unfair advantage on how to understand your wife better, love her deeper, avoid unnecessary arguments, and even have more sex with her. That's right. Based on the success of our Marriage Secrets for Men boot camps, we're finally sharing the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men with the public. This is the quick reference must-have go-to guide for husbands and wannabe husbands that can help stack the odds in your favor. The Bible tells us to live with our wives in an understanding way. Well, the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men is your shortcut to doing that. So you'll learn 4 questions you can ask your wife in every argument to avoid future arguments. You'll learn the 45 questions you can ask her to learn and master her heart. 50 ways to love your wife better. 6 things you can say to her to manage her response before you damage her emotions. 10 things you can do right now that will lead to more sex. 8 ways to get her to stop ignoring you, even 49 ways to have more meaningful conversations with your wife, and much, much more. See, this is the manual every divorced man wishes he had before he got married. Well, at least I did. And I'm so God confident that the Marriage Cheat Sheet will become one of the most valuable referred to resources in your marriage library that if you don't think so, just send it back for a full refund. Trust me, next to our Marriage Secrets for Men bootcamp, this will be the 2nd best investment you will ever make in your marriage. Now, to get your copy of the Marriage Cheat Sheet for Men on sale for a limited time only, just go to realmenconnect.com and click on the store button. That's realmenconnect.com. Mighty Warriors with my guest, Gary Thomas, the author of When to Walk Away, Finding Freedom from Toxic People. And Gary says he is ready to take on the Man Up questions. So, Gary, let's just jump right into it, brother. The M stands for mistake, Now, obviously, you know, you've had your journey through writing about this topic, dealing with this. Let's talk personally now. What was the biggest mistake that you learned the most from as a man when it came to dealing with toxic people?
That there was a failure on my part if I had to walk away or let them walk away. I felt like if they weren't seeing the light, if they weren't moved to follow God, that it was a lack of experience. I didn't speak out of love. I wasn't walking in obedience. I wasn't in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I realized how many people interacted with Jesus and still rejected him, it gave me an entirely new freedom that my job is to be faithful and generous with my time, but not to evaluate myself by the results. That's not in my hand. Jesus didn't see everybody converted, and that wasn't a failure on his part, and I can't view it as a failure on mine.
Right. Now, I mentioned earlier about your favorite Bible verse, Matthew 6:33, and I'll tell you, my spiritual father uses it too. One thing he told me, he just reiterated what you said. He said it this way. He says, Joe, God called you to be faithful, not successful. And so he said, you leave the results up to him. You focus on your obedience to him and let him handle the results. So with that being the case, Gary, the A stands for attitude. If you could change one attitude in men specifically when it comes to dealing with toxic people, what would it be based on your experience in working with men?
Yeah, I wish every man – we think of Christianity based on what we don't do. I shouldn't gamble. I shouldn't get drunk. I shouldn't look at porn. I shouldn't be abusive to my wife. I would rather our attitudes – and this is what I want from my attitude. I want to focus on the positive things that we mentioned earlier in Colossians 3. I want to be a man of compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, and love. I want to focus on the positive attitudes that Paul calls me to have and not obsess about toxic people, but that's what I want to be. I think I grew up with a faith that focused on Christianity as what I shouldn't be. And more I want my attitude to be, no, this is what I should focus on, what I should be. Compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, love, and gentleness.
Oh, that's good, Gary. I love that. Love that. Now, Gary, the N stands for next. And you've done a lot. You've written a lot. You speak a lot. You travel a lot. What's the next big thing you would attempt to do for God if you knew you couldn't fail and you weren't afraid?
I'm not the type A kind of a guy, Joe, where I'm going to tell you my 5-year plan and my 10-year plan. In part, I was challenged by a great Christian classic that said, don't let tomorrow's dreams distract you from today's obedience. So I could be completely wrong, but I'm not a next big thing guy. I want to be faithful to seek first the kingdom of God today, because when I've had next big things before, it would be rooted in my own ambition, not in the kingdom of God. I'm not undercutting anybody who answers that. Again, it could be my passive nature. It's just for me, I want to be faithful over the next 24 hours. And I fall so far short of compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, and love. I fall so far short of loving my wife like Christ loves the church. I fall so far short of investing in reliable people. I feel like, how do I think of something else at this point in my life? So my next big thing is be faithful to the next small thing.
You know, and Gary, I think that is so relatable to us as men listening out there, because even as you said, I mean, I desire the same thing. I often tell guys about myself. I said, man, God didn't lack anything when he gave me passion. But boy, I'm seriously lacking in the compassion part of it. I need more compassion. And I find out that I need a daily portion every day because it seemed like I'm leaking or something and then I'm not filled up with it. But so I think a lot of men can relate to that. I definitely can myself. Now, Gary, the U represents understand. And when you were younger, and I'm just talking about just age-wise, but in your maturity and your faith, what was the one thing you didn't understand about dealing with toxic people as a man, but you understand better now?
Being hated by toxic people is a price to being loved by God.
Oh, say that again. I love that. Say that again, Gary.
Being hated by toxic people is a price of being loved by God.
Wow.
People will hate us. And here's what's given me the antidote to that, Joe. John the Baptist said, although he was murdered by a toxic person named Herod, and you talked about Jezebel's spirit, Herodias, it says he was born, it was prophesied, he would be great in the sight of God. And then I think of Nehemiah, who was challenged and lied about and threatened by toxic people. And the book of Nehemiah ends with what has become a life verse for me. Remember me with favor, my God. And so I realized to be loved by God and to be faithful by God is learning how to be hated by those who oppose God. That was a really hard lesson for a people pleaser like me. But I just don't think there's any way around it. Jesus said, the world hates me because I testify that what it does is evil, and the servant will be above its master. If you can't be hated by people who oppose God, you're not going to make it as a disciple of Jesus. You will compromise.
And what did the Beatitudes tell us? It's blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For righteousness' sake. You know, man, I think, man, that's one of those drop the mic moments, Gary, just now. And I feel bad because I have another question to ask you. Okay. We could have stopped the show, right? That was a wonderful way of phrasing that. But I do have one last question for you. The P stands for problem. And as a mighty man of God, which you are, what is the one problem that you're still struggling with as a man, even today, even beyond just dealing with toxic people?
It's the whole issue of control that we talked about. I think with my kids, with my wife, with others, and I'm hoping it's motivated by love, but not. But I want, when I see them doing something, I just think this is harmful. This is not helpful. This is going to take you to a bad place. I want to control them, and it's hard for me not to take it personally. I'm more controlling than God is, and I still struggle with that. And the ability to just, as Jesus did, even the rich young ruler that he loved and let him walk away, I stink at that. I really do. And I'm trying to grow in that area, to give somebody up to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you're still working with this person. I got to release it. It is so hard for me to let go.
Wow. Great job, Gary. That was awesome. Thanks for being so honest and transparent with our listeners. And Gary, I got to tell you, you know, we prayed before we came on the air. It was worth not us having to reschedule this interview, because I don't know if I would have been in the right headspace to be able to do the interview, to listen and to hear the wisdom of which you spoke today. So I just want to say thank you, man, so much for joining us on our show today. We really appreciate it.
Well, John, I just want to affirm you as a brother in Christ. The listeners may not know this because they won't know the circumstances, but you and I and God knows this was a heroic effort for you, considering what this came out of. And so I'm proud of you. I'm so grateful to be called a brother in Christ and to work with you in the kingdom, and just praying God's blessing and fruitfulness in your ministry going forward.
Thank you, Gary. I received that, brother. I really appreciate it. And Gary, quickly for our listeners, if they wanted to find out more about you, your ministry, and this book we've been talking about, how can they connect with you? What's the best way to do that?
Yeah, GaryThomas.com. If they remember my name, GaryThomas.com. That you get to my blog and all the social media handles. And WhenToWalkAwayBook.com if they want to just focus on the book, WhenToWalkAwayBook.com. It'll have a lot of information about it. They can read it and get a sample and see the trailer and all of that.
I wonder how in the world were you able to get GaryThomas.com as a URL? That's amazing.
You know, I had a friend who, right when the internet was coming up, and this really dates me, I'm 58. He just said, Gary, they're going. You need to get this name. And I didn't have anything at the time, but he says, if you ever want to be an author, you're going to want this. And I did. And so I'm laughing at other Gary Thomas. There's one that says the real Gary Thomas. So I guess I'm the fake Gary Thomas. I've had it for however long there's been an internet. I just got on really early, and I'll always owe this friend of mine who told me to get it.
Oh yeah, you owe him something, man. But as soon as I saw the URL, I'm like, wow, how was he able to get that? I can't get my name JoeMartin.com.
That's pretty common name. That's your problem. I know of a baseball field named Joe Martin. So there you go.
Wow. And what we're going to do, we're going to put Gary's contact information, all of his websites and his social media tags and addresses in the show notes, so you guys can reach out to Gary. And you got to get his book. His book is fantastic. And for you guys out there listening, take about 30 seconds to go to iTunes and rate the program. Not just the program, but rate this show, this interview I have with Gary today. It's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. And please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man that God has called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible, terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, you know, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out RealMenConnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man, God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.